I just don't know what to do with myself. Don't know just what to do with myself. I'm so used to doing everything with you, planning everything for two. And now that we're through, I just don't know what to do with my time. I'm so lonesome for you, it's a crime. Like a summer rose needs a sun and rain. I need your sweet love to be all pain. I just don't know what to do with myself. I just don't. Like a summer rose, it needs a sun and rain. I need your sweet love to feed all the pain. I don't know just what to do with myself.
And you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and today we're going to be speaking about what is real. And I invite you to join the conversation.
I treated
This is Heart of Mind, radio for the new millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and we heard a little medley opening up. The last piece was Hold On, the LP version, the very best of En Vogue. And before that, we heard Come to the River by Diane Reeves. And the opening song of the medley was I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself by Dusty Springfield. So we passed through several genres of music just to stimulate memories and thoughts and coming to some idea of what is real. It's an interesting question because as material beings, we have the evidence within and as our physicality, which appears to be quite real. And we have our experiences and engagements with each other, one human being engaging with another, either in partnership or in conflict or friendship, sportsmanship, so many ways in which there is physical contact and connection from human being to human being. So under my definition of real, I would say that there is a tangible reality to our existence. The question is, how do we explore beyond that most evident reality that we can see and hear and smell and taste with our senses? And just beyond that perceptual reality that we have as limited in some ways as human beings is kind of where science picks up. And science, through its microscopes and telescopes, share a different story about reality. And we begin to look at the sub-levels of our existence, what a cell looks like, what the nucleus looks like, the fact that we have DNA strands within our cellular structures, within our nucleus, that carries information that's even more minute. So there's a certain category of reality that seems, in my understanding of reality, yeah, that's true. That seems to be evidence of our reality having this level of interchange in the large sense. And then we have the micro reality of anything that is physical. That going down deep into it, you'll find all these smaller and smaller breakdowns of our reality. So it's entirely possible and potentially true that if we expand out from what we can perceive and hear into the spaciousness around our living structures, there's the sky and the sun and the moon, pretty self-evident. You go beyond that, we see stars and planetary lights that would suggest that there's something there beyond our planetary existence that exists out there. And we have these really powerful telescopes that go deep, deep, deep into that spaciousness. And it shows us some evidence of multiple universes and galaxies. So we have a really broad spectrum of reality to look upon or to consider to be self-evident in some ways. I think where we get into some difficulty with understanding reality is when we become psychologically and in other ways mentally hijacked according to specific agendas, whatever they might be. So back in the age of Kemet, reality was defined by a certain kind of historical precedent and a deep reflection into the unseen world. And they had their own cosmogony for that. And that eventually evolved into what became the Roman empires and the Abrahamic religions, which had their own interpretations of reality. And as we have come closer to our own time frame, we see the advancement of many, many theories of what reality might be. And we also see the advancement of power politics that dictate reality for us. And in many ways, these dictates conflict with earlier times, but also serve to constrain the capacity of some and expand the opportunities of others over time. So, for instance, during the time of Kemet, and when the ocean was not the Atlantic Ocean, but was the Ethiopian Sea, when what was designated as north was actually the tip of Africa, the tip of South America, so those tips were pointing up into what was considered the north, leaving the continents that we are more familiar with, European continents, Canadian, Russian, you know, all those continents at the top, Greenland, were actually considered to be at the bottom of the maps in those early days, through all the way through even the Islamic empires, or the Arabian empires, I would say. Islam didn't come till later, perhaps. But so there was a construct, there was a shift in how people perceived the planet was structured. And also we got somewhere in the 1400s, thereabouts, the Mercator projection map that distorted the northern continents into huge, vast continents and shrunk those continents that are actually larger and made them appear minuscule in comparison. And while there may have been some structural reasons for doing that, or excuses for doing that, it created a mindset that set the world up for a global superiority coming through the northern continents and a subjugation of the more populous continents, which would have been Africa, South Asia, the Americas. So it's just really interesting the way perceptions are manipulated through politics. Another thing that occurred that changed general perception was this whole idea of astronomy. And in the earlier times, dating all the way back to ancient times, of course, the people regarded the earth as a plane, not meaning that it was flat, but meaning that it was a blob in space rather than a ball in space. And then, at least that's how I interpret it. And in that blob of turf, land mass, you know, there were mountains, there were valleys, there were hills, there were rivers, there were oceans. So everything we now see was on this blob earth as was conceived by the ancient peoples. And they further perceived that rising and surrounding this blob earth was an atmosphere. An atmosphere that was sort of functioned as a terranium, you know, like an environment that we could breathe and move about in and prosper within this environment. And the environment had oxygen and other gases. It had clouds, sunlight, rain, moonlight. So all of these things were tangibly real for people, still are. But the early conception that it was surrounding the blob earth, I call it. It's my own name for it. And as they peered beyond the sky, the visible sky in the daytime, they were able to see into a deeper spaciousness that could perceptually be seen as much further away. And they perceived all of these things that they saw in the sky as lights or stars. So there were stationary stars. There were moving stars that we now call planets. And there were celestial systems that remained the same and just moved. And so the perception was, is this canopy of stars was moving around Earth, and a certain solar system would become dominant for a period of time, or a certain star system, and that star system impacted the system on Earth, because everything being perceived as interconnected. So all of these philosophies and ideologies of understanding the meanings and the connections of these star systems arose in ancient times. And there were many civilizations, organic civilizations, who grew through ancient history before any tangible memory, have legends or tales connecting them to various solar systems. So there's this very rich history coming through time. And then we get into modern times, when the focus, I would say, is more focused on acquisition of territories and acquisition of peoples and acquisition of resources, including the human resources of those people who would be subjugated. So we shifted into a different world, which in my mind identify with the Roman Empire. And the Romans co-opting the Christian religions of their time and essentially blotting out the multiplicity of practices that existed and honed in on one series of truths that they chose out of the multitude of texts and belief systems and teachings. They chose what was relevant to their empire, and they called it Christianity. And they took hold of it, and everything else was kind of squashed. But in that whole time period, there was this war that was taking place over space. And the war of space seemed to be warring against, or the concept of space, far distant space, was warring with the concept of a God-created reality. You know, some guy in the sky decided one day to create all that exists. And the scientific pull brought people into, at least in the European world, into what they called the Enlightenment, in which they rejected the whole Christian schema of things and focused more readily on the science of things. And I would say in the meantime, within these two camps, trapped in the middle was the, whom I call, and I didn't coin this phrase, it was one of my friends and students asked, organic people, people who are connected to the earth. So organic people are not a specific race of people. You'll find organic people amongst all races. And in the early stages of civilization, I think all peoples of the earth were organic. Connected to the earth, connected to the rhythms of the seasons, to the connections to the stars, but also including an understanding of the ancestors and a bringing forth of and respect for ancient wisdom, and a capacity to live in harmony with the earth's existence as they understood it, as a part of a whole. So these organic segment of civilization became the victim, in some measure, of these two warring factions of religion and science, and were ultimately destroyed, and in large numbers, the organic civilizations were genocided from the modern world. So we're still, as I see it, in the systems of the God in the sky believing and the planetary system believing cohorts, the science cohort and the religious cohort, have so entangled the systems of humanity that it has created a almost universal sense of being lost, sense of being disconnected, sense of almost non-reality, to the point that human beings are beginning to consider, well, maybe it would be better to be synthetic, to be connected to some kind of database, to be able to function like a computer in order to compete. Because, and I think that this is able to take hold primarily because we're so disconnected from our organic roots. So just like vegetables and plants need to have a connection to their organic nature to be healthy, the same is true of human beings. Hello, you're on the air. Yes.
Yeah, well, I was kind of disturbed about the piece that you just spoke about, because it seems to alienate the fact that people of African descent, especially in ancient Egypt, was the foundation of all civilizations, all religious belief systems in the world.
I agree.
It seems like modern people today seem to be
I'm not hearing you. Hello? Can you please call back in? I'm not able to distinguish what your words are. It's distorted. Please try to call again. I'll look for your call. So hang up and call right back. And I agree, the origin of understanding and the origin, the root to all of these cultures is exactly, it comes from the ancient world of Kemet, the ancient worlds across the globe, really. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you, Catherine?
Good, thank you.
What a great program, as always.
Thank you.
I was thinking about, you said, what is real? I was thinking about the organics. And the organics have a tendency to be the observers, unlike the very beginning of time, you know, where religious teachings came forward. It really stemmed from people who had an opportunity, because they weren't attached to the secular world, to just observe everything, how things manifest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the organics. I agree with you. The organics are not any particular group of people, although I also agree from a historical and factual standpoint what the gentleman said previously, that humanity stems from Africa, and so the religions and what have you stem from there first. But organics are throughout the world and are currently still now. I think that they're really people who confirm majority, or they confirm all, as opposed to people who are not the organics, who focus on the few, whatever reason. And then whenever the few want to dominate the majority, that's where the problems come from. The organics, and I consider you to be one. I try to be one as well.
And you are.
A lot of the listeners who listen to WBAI of many proclivities, races, and what have you, are as well. They have a tendency to want to see the majority come forward, because that is, from my observation, the best way. It should be, always be the majority rules, the observations that the majority feels is best for humanity, not the few who feel it's best for them.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I could acknowledge that. I think that's true. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. I was calling about a lot of people call in and say, okay, we came from here, we came from there. But everybody came, how can we say where we came from? And we are part of the creation. The only one who can tell you that where you came from is the creator. Other people, you can say some people came from here, came from there. If you believe the Bible or not, that's the only one that claims that came from God, as you believe it or not. Human being is other people go by other men's word. Okay? And the thing is, how can you say, okay, we're this creation, and we came from here, because of the color of your skin? It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with how we was created. We all came from, okay, from a woman part of carrying life. But the creator gave him that permission to do that. That's why a lot of people think abortion is wrong and it's killing. Because the thing being is, how can you be entrusted, okay, of carrying life, and then it be your decision to carry life? Because that's why I gave you that ability to carry life. Don't mean you have to say no. And that's where we get the confusion. You think we can rule, but that's why we have so many problems.
Well, that's a good point, and I acknowledge your point. What I'm referring to primarily with, if you go back into ancient cultures who predated the Roman Empire, predated the Christian belief system, when people first encountered many of these civilizations, they had different understanding of their roots. So, for instance, the Dogon people talked about the Nomo and people coming from another sun system to interact with the humans here on Earth. And there are many ancient civilizations across the world that have these historical belief systems that are real. They actually had their whole societies based around it. So what I'm saying is that their reality was different than our reality. So we can say that we're right and they were wrong, but we don't really know. It comes down to belief. And so that's all I'm saying, is that for us to begin to look at the transformations of what was considered to be real, how those transformations occurred and begin to examine the impact of it. And I say that from the perspective of not to challenge a person's particular belief in God, whom I personally don't believe is a guy in the sky, but an energy. And still understand how these belief systems were brought about through the use of weaponry, through the use of destruction, through the use of enslavement, through the use of genocide. So taking the God question out, whether one believes or not, it can be demonstrated that in the name of God, in the name of science, a lot of destruction has occurred. And so we need to be able to see that, so that if you're going to follow that path of connection to the true source or the true God, you don't fall into the trap of behaving in that domineering, autocratic, destructive way that most of these institutions have. So that's what I'm looking at in terms of really looking down into the reality of what we're experiencing now and how some very wholesome connection and information and understanding has been deprived us because those entities that are controlling civilization and the world don't want us to be organically intelligent or organically connected to the divine or organically connected to the earth. They want us cut off from that reality so that we would be psychologically floating in space and could entice us with the idea that this mechanical synthetic system is a better system for humanity. And my belief is that if we go back, we can find the treasures and not betray humanity by going further away from its organic nature. So that's just my idea. Thank you for your call.
I have one more thing to say before I leave. One
quickly.
Thing is, okay, what the Bible says is that God has to reveal to you. You can't really believe unless he does. And this is why I'm saying, and the Bible doesn't tell you, you got to fight for God. If you look it in the Bible, it doesn't say that.
Right.
So I just want to be clear. It doesn't say, okay, well, make the Crusades, fight in my name. People twist a lot of things. It's like they twist the Constitution. They twist a lot of things, what it says.
Yeah, I agree. That is my point. That is my point. And okay. I think that as an organic being, which most of us are, we need to retrieve the wisdom that underlies the rhetoric that we're being fed on a daily basis. That's kind of the point I'm getting to.
All right. I'm just saying, the thing being is, when you say you believe in God and when they say they're Christians or whatever, if they're true Christians, it has nothing to do with belief in the Bible. God makes you believe. You can't be...
Well, you know, okay, I get your point, but this is your belief. It may not be mine.
But I understand, but I'm going to say, leave you with this. Everybody can't be right. So you could have your belief. I can have my belief. It's not about our beliefs. It's about the truth.
I disagree. Everybody can be right. There's no one that says there's only one truth. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, my name is Alan Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I hear you, yes. Go ahead.
What I would say is that, you know, the belief system in ancient Kemet, they believed in the deity of Nut, the goddess Nut. They believed that she was the macro universe. She was the womb of the macro, the universe. It's darkness. And every black woman, every white woman, everybody on the earth, they have a micro universe within their stomach. So the African deified the woman. Whereas Christianity came out of ancient Christian Ethiopia. And all of the religions, Islam fermented out of African thought. So we don't talk about that because it's not in the airwaves. They're trying to discard the fact that black people contributed to civilization on this very land that we America, it is an inhabited land by ruthless white people who came over here to kill out white indigenous people. Let's be real about it. And let's not beat around the bush. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all of the modern religions that have controlled the former war.
Okay, your phone is breaking down.
This country continue to keep wars going, to keep money,
greed. Power and control, and
United States of America is a part of that.
We can't overlook that. No, we inherited it.
The United Kingdom is a part of that.
Absolutely.
And if we would say white supremacy rules supreme on this planet because of the ruthlessness and the arrogance of Europeans in particular.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for sharing those thoughts. Let's see if we can bring in a few more calls. And I think it's important to understand some of the dynamics. And it's really easy to blame a particular group of people because they seem to be the most recent of those people who have created this kind of chaos. I don't believe necessarily they are the first, but they've been the most effective. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question.
Can you turn off your radio, please?
Okay. How do you deal with when someone's always negative towards whatever you say? If you say it's sunny out, and they'll tell you the sun hurts my eyes. How do you deal with that?
Well, if it were me, I wouldn't talk to them as much.
Okay.
I mean, you can only give so much energy. And sometimes it's more important for you to demonstrate your own energy and your own calling, demonstrate your own mission, what you're called to do. And if you are a person that is working on refining their energy, then you need to not be in an environment or to limit the environment and exposure to toxicity. So I don't judge people as bad. I see them as toxic. And so I just say, well, this person is toxic. They're going to poison me spiritually. Or this situation is toxic. It's going to poison my capacity to take care of myself. Or this situation is toxic because I'm being exploited or abused. Then my immediate need is to get out of that situation, get out of that relationship, and move on to find companions or organizations that are more in alignment with your energy. I wouldn't fight it. I would just leave it. And then if it does get into a conflict, I would still use the principles of a more refined energy. So rather than if somebody says something that I disagree with, I'm not going to attack the person. I'm going to try to be more rational about my disagreement with the idea. If someone has been abused and therefore become abusive, then I try to hold them with a regard of compassion. Now, it may not change anything, but it helps to maintain my core. So that's how I deal with that kind of thing.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much. That makes a lot of sense. That's what I try to do. That makes a lot of sense.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so I really am taken with this idea of being organic, a term coined, at least in my consciousness, by Ast, a woman who's a beautiful musician, singer, and teacher. So, yes, we are organic, and I think bringing this idea to the fore will give us some sense of rootedness as we contend with the kind of field that we're living in at this time, in which there's such massive mind control and censorship and this sense of canceling and ostracizing people for challenging or disagreeing with a particular narrative is a real problem. We have to stop doing it as a civilization. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Catherine.
Hello, John. Happy New Year.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah, it's the New Year is real. We know that.
Well, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's man-made time and.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a man-made calendar that came after other calendars and ancient calendars. So it's what we live by, but I'm not convinced that it's actually real. We could be in any century and any time. We don't actually know.
Right. It is kind of strange nowadays how things are, but there are some things that are real, maybe temporarily. You know, then they change, but it's definitely, you know, daylight out.
Right? Yeah, I agree. Experience is real.
Right.
You know,
so,
what's
like you're
tangible.
Getting a lot of callers.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess I'm taking it to a deeper process of consideration of what's real and what's not real. And underlying my query is because I'm looking how people are being led by the nose into various camps based on a rhetoric that has no basis in reality for the most part. It's a projection, it's a conjecture, it's a control mechanism, it's a suppressive mechanism, and people are just, you know, dallying along, going along with it, dancing down whatever yellow brick road they're presented with.
Right.
And generally speaking, these narratives seem to be designed to keep people in conflict so that that energy is spent there rather than coming to a deeper realization of who we are as beings.
Well, that's how people are, I guess. You know, you just can't let people lead you around by the nose. You got to, you know, do what you can. But, you know, people control everybody with, you know, money and food and housing and, you know, electricity and utilities and phones. And I don't know. There just seems to be a lot things that people need, and you know, other people try to take advantage, especially when they keep raising the prices all the time. That's what I can't understand.
I agree, but I think we're living under this system of power and control.
Right.
So they've always done it. They're always going to do it, whoever they are. And I'm suggesting that organic beings have to constitute their own conceptual understandings of reality,
right,
so that there's some force to give people a choice of following these memes and these, I don't know, you know, it's just my thought.
You just have to unleash yourself from all this, you know, take the leash off and be free and, you know, don't get so dependent on all this stuff, you know, you don't really need it all, you know, it's just a bunch of things people come up with and try to sell it to you and tell you need this and that and, you know. You got to, you know, just be careful what you choose and what you do.
Yeah. I think that's, and to me, that's the message of embracing the organic nature of humanity.
Yeah. What do you really need, you know? Do I really need this? Do we need that?
And
I don't know. People just need to try to, you know, think before you jump, you know. Think before you do something. You know, what's the outcome going to be? A lot of people don't do that. They just go out and do stuff, and they don't really think ahead.
Exactly. But a lot of us do. I mean, and everybody can make a mistake, but I think everybody is seeking deeper meaning than what we're being presented in the sphere of public narrative making.
Right.
And so, yeah, thanks for calling. I'm just about out of time.
All right, Catherine, it's good to talk to you, and I will talk to you later.
All right, take care now, John.
Bye.
And that was John Monroe, the holistic eye care educator that provides those wonderful eye care kits to all of you, and hopefully we'll be able to do something again soon. I wanted to have a chance to invite you to a series of classes that I am having next week. They are free, which is lovely, and they're part of the work that I do on self-care through Qigong, meditation, and other energy practices. So I have three free introductory classes coming next week. On Tuesday, January 10th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., Qigong Self-Care Evening Training Series, and this is online over Zoom. And you will get an introduction too, and if you were to join the class, you would learn more. Self-care practices that integrate the healing wisdom of traditional Chinese medicine, Taoist practices for longevity, and Buddhist practices for enlightenment. So it's a mind, body, spirit, soul, but based on the traditions of Qigong. And of course, Qigong is the ancient healing art of China. Like Tai Chi, but more, goes a lot deeper in many ways. On Wednesday, January 11th, in the morning, you can choose from 7 to 8 a.m. or from 8 to 9 a.m. So it's either 7 or 8, depending on what time you need to get out to work. Qigong Self-Care Morning Practice Sessions, also on Zoom. Ease into your day with a casual power hour of Qigong Self-Care. Practices include moving meditation and vibrational self-healing. So the morning practice is more about releasing old destructive energy, filling and empowering your body with the energy that you need to get through your day, to be able to think clearly. The evening session on January 10th, and even the full series of the evening program, is more about learning so that you can do this on your own, so that you can understand the science. And the morning class is more about relaxing, letting go, just allowing the movements and the breathing to penetrate and really enrich your body. I mean, it happens all the time, but it's less emphasis on learning the concepts and more about doing. And on Wednesday, January 11th, the same day in the evening, from 7:30 till 9 p.m., I'll be offering a free intro to certification as a Qigong self-care trainer, the evening series, Professionalize Your Practice with Certification as a Qigong Self-Care Trainer. And you could help family, friends, and build a new career path or potentially bring in extra income. So that is giving you, and it's a longer program all in all, but it sets you on the path to be able to take this and share it with others. And just as an aside, we have an ongoing Thursday morning inner fitness, Qigong inner fitness class, which is also on Zoom. So these are all online. You can come in and participate for free, and then later you choose if you want to register. But you can find out about all of this on the website daoqigonglife.com, daoqigonglife.com, daoqigonglife.com. And that's my newest website. And you'll see an interview that I gave for the Qigong Global Summit of 2022. And you'll see about a retreat and other opportunities that you can participate in. Certification, the evening training, the morning practice, and all that you'll find on daoqigonglife.com. I invite you to take a look and join into the, it's fun. You know, it's really fun. I love the free classes, and I offer them between each of the curriculum. We train for a curriculum, then we do free, then we train part of the curriculum, then we do free. So you could just come to the free classes over a year and end up with a kind of a training or understanding of the practice. Or you can go deeper and actually become, really have a deeper understanding of how to work with this form. And in China, traditionally, they have many practices, including Taoism, including Buddhism, including Confucianism, including the medical Qigong, connected to traditional Chinese medicine. So there are a lot of historical streams that flow into the modern practice, And it becomes a way, a question of finding the right fit. And that's what we try to do, help people find the right fit based on what's going on inside of your body, what's going on inside of your emotions, inside of your spiritual being. So there are so many different practices that are particularly designed. So there are practices for the lungs, for the kidneys, for all of the organs. There are practices for circulation and blood pressure. There are practices, anything you could think of that would be covered in traditional Chinese medicine. There are practices that are movements and breathing and guiding of energy through your system. And so that's why I'm calling it Qigong self-care. And so for those of you who would like to participate in that, please do. And I am going to play a bit of music and go to the transition. So stay tuned, and thank you very much for tuning in and participating.
The healing waters flow. There we